So a few weeks ago, we began a series that we called Frequency. And it's really about the fact that God's always speaking, but oftentimes we're not hearing. And it's one of the things that people ask me about all the time. They say, Pastor Garrett, how do I know what God wants me to do in this? I want to do this, but I don't really know if it's what God is saying in all of this. And I'm here to tell you this morning, it is possible, and it's very possible, and it's very achievable to hear what God is saying to you. Now, to some people, that whole concept of God speaking to you, I think it was Joy Bay or something from The View, she was talking about Vice President Pence. I don't really care about your political view on him, but she was saying that she was ridiculing the fact that he said he heard from God. And she said it's one thing to talk to God, but to hear from God is mental illness. To say that, and you can Google it, to say that your person can actually hear from God is mental illness. And that's so wrong. That is just so wrong. Because it is very possible, and it's very achievable, it's very doable. And as a matter of fact, God says he wants you to hear from him. The problem is, as I said, some of us get it wrong, is that you can go from a spiritual high where you are talking to God and then another second you're getting it all wrong. And so today I want to be extremely practical about how to recognize God's voice. Just to give an illustration, there was a time where Jesus was talking to his disciples, and I love this passage of scripture. But today I'm going to speak a little bit differently from it. It's Peter, he was talking to his disciples, and Jesus, you know, was asking his disciples, who do men say I am? And Peter answered, you are son of Simon, he said, you are the son of God. And Jesus said to him, Simon, son of Jonah, you are blessed because no human revealed that to you. But my Father in heaven revealed that to you. In other words, that statement that came before where Peter looked at him and says, you are Jesus, son of God. It was literally God speaking to Peter. And Peter opened up his mouth and speaking out what God had said to him. That this is the son of God. And God, Jesus pointed that out. But just 5 verses later, this is Matthew 16:17. Just Matthew 16:23, we see Peter getting it wrong. And Jesus is talking and he's saying what's going to happen to him. And Peter, no longer realizing that he's not listening to the Holy Spirit, he's not listening to God's voice, he says, that's not going to happen to you, Jesus. And 5 verses later, this is what Jesus said to Peter. He said, get away from me, Satan. You're an obstacle and stumbling block to me. And so as easy as it is to hear, it's easy not to hear. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is how to make sure you recognize what God is saying to you. Our passage for this theme has been found in John 10. I'm going to spend my time in John 10 today. I started out sharing that Jesus, when he first started teaching on his voice, he said, he used an analogy that everybody would have understood. He started saying, all you guys know about good shepherds, right? But let me tell you something about a shepherd. A good shepherd calls his own sheep by name. And he leads them out, and everybody would have said, yeah, we get that. And then he says, when he has brought them out, brought his own sheep out, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. And then he goes on to say is that they will never follow a stranger, but will run away from him because they do not recognize his voice, the stranger's voice. And then he says, now that you understand about good shepherds, he says, I am the good shepherd. And my sheep, which are all the people who call Jesus Lord, hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. And in the same passage, in verse 10, which is a theme verse for our church, John 10, verse 10, and God's talking about sheep. He says this here. He says, I have come that they, and again, he's talking about sheep, which is us. He says, I've come that my sheep, to give my sheep life. And then I went to all the different translations of the Bible and read this verse. I'm going to mash all of them together for you. He says, I have come to give them, which is us, life. But he said, not only life, but I want you to have and enjoy a rich and satisfying life. But not only that, I want to not only a rich and satisfying life, but life even more abundantly on top of having and enjoying a rich and satisfying life. But not only that, a life so abundantly that it overflows. And this is what Jesus is saying to you. It's like, look, when you recognize my voice and when you follow me, you're gonna get to enjoy a happy and enjoyable, a rich and satisfying life. You're gonna get life more abundantly, and life so abundantly that it overflows. And Jesus is saying, hey guys, I want you to understand something. When you follow me, you're going to get instruction to deal with every situation that you will encounter in this life. You will know how to respond to every person who says something to you that you don't want to respond to. And he's like, I'm going to tell you how to respond to the people who get you really upset. I'm going to tell you how to have wise things to say in discussions, that when you say something in a discussion, everybody stops and like, and they say, wow. He's like, when you listen to my voice that I'm speaking to you, when you recognize, I'm going to help you in that job interview. You're going to go in that interview and you say, God, I want to say the things that only that interview wants to hear. And I'm not going to say anything. So God, I want to listen to you. And God's going to say, okay, here's what you say. You tell them about X, or you tell them about Y. Jesus says, when you listen to my voice, your relationships will be better. Your marriage will be better. He's like, when you are tuning in, when you're tuning in, this is what will happen. I will not only make your life better, but I'll make you better at life. And Jesus says, I'll not only make your life better, but I'll make you better at life. And the cool thing is that when Jesus speaks, when God is speaking to us, he's not just giving some wise generic statements that doesn't really apply. He's very, 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 very specific. And that's why we saw last week when Calvin talked about it, Samuel, when he's telling you something, he starts out by calling your name. He speaks to you by name. He says, Gary, here's what I want you to say to the people on Sunday morning. And you know, you don't believe me, but here's how it plays out. Let's say we have a hypothetical person named Thelma. It's hypothetically speaking. And Thelma wakes up one morning and she's feeling lonely and she's feeling, you know, say that she's missing her husband. And God says, Thelma, I want you to go out into your garden. And I want you to, you know, do your gardening stuff and all that. And when you're out there, you're going to feel a little bit better. You're going to feel my presence in your garden. And Thelma goes out in the garden. But not only that, he calls up Ingrid. He says, Ingrid, puts a thought in Ingrid's head. He's like, call Thelma. And Ingrid calls Thelma out of the blue. She doesn't know why. She has work to do, but she calls her. And she says, hey, I was just thinking about you because God put a thought in her mind. And she calls up Thelma and says, how are you doing? And she's like, I was out of my garden just missing a hypothetical person named Vincent. And Ingrid just goes and just ministers to her and pray with her. That's how that plays out. When God calls you by name, he puts a thought in your head for something for you to go and do, for something to you to go and say. And that's pretty wild. And so how does God do this? You know, how does God speak to us? Well, A couple weeks ago, we talked about all these different ways. We say he speaks through the written word, which is the Bible, right? But we said that, and I'm going to spend the rest of my time today talking about this, that the number one way that God speaks to every one of us here is through a quiet whisper or a still small voice inside our head. And people are like, oh, Gary, no, the number one way is the Bible. Let me tell you that God's been talking to people before the written word was in place. Now, the word, which is God, was always in place, but the written word I'm specifically talking about, God told a man, Abraham, to leave where he was. There was no Bible then. There was no Old Testament, and go to a place. He told Moses things before the law was written. And so God has always been telling people stuff. And when you read the Bible, probably 80% of the times, it says, and God told Peter to do this. And God told, if you stop and think, well, how did God tell them? Because there was, you know, God had to tell them some way. Sometimes it's through signs and wonders. Some miracle angel comes in the midst. But oftentimes, it's a still, small voice that comes as a thought in your mind. So this morning, I want to tell you how that still small voice, and it's really, really, really practical, how that still small voice comes in. Number one, a still small voice comes to you in the form of a prompting. It's a prompting. It's God putting a thought in your head, and it's like an urge to do something. And we have a word for that. See, when we get a prompting from God, you know what we call that? We call that inspiration. Say, I got inspired. I got inspired to do this. It's the same prompting. It's the same thought that he prompted Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Paul, and Peter to. He's like, hey, you guys need to write this down. And they wrote, or they had people write for them, what became to be our New Testament. God says, no, you're going to write down this. And every time they're trying to write something different, like God's like, no, that's not really what I want you to write. Here's what I want you to write. That's called inspiration. And it's that urge. It's that urge that when we're walking down the street and we see a homeless man, and sometimes we pass by him. But other times, there's something in our head that says, maybe I should take out a couple bucks and give to this guy. And he's like, but he's probably going to spend it on cigarettes or on whatever he spends it on. But that urge says, no, you need to take out some money and you need to give to that guy. It's an urge that you get at the end many times or sometimes in the middle of a sermon where you're like, man, Gary's speaking to me, or Calvin, or Max, or whoever is speaking to me. When the speaker is speaking to me, that urge that you get, and I can't tell you how many times I come off and they're like, how did you know? I'm like, know what? You're so vain. I bet you think this song is about you. But the reality, it is about you. Because God calling you by name, he's like, look, I'm going to call the fake name here, somebody, Jimbo. This message is for you. You need to respond. That is that prompting that comes from the Lord. It's a prompting that when you haven't seen a person in a while, to call them up and say, I haven't seen you in a while. There's a lady here who she's very quiet, she doesn't really say much, but every couple weeks or so she'll send me a text. She goes, I haven't seen XYZ in a while. I'm like, why don't you call them? And she calls them. And that's the prompting that comes from the Lord. It's a prompting that some of you guys have right now to have a spiritual conversation with somebody. Somebody, a coworker named Dan. Or maybe it's Daniel. Or you have a relative named Judy. Or you have a neighbor named Marcia that right now, I don't know who it is. And by the way, these names came to mind, and I wasn't going to write them down, but she said, you know what? They came in my mind. I'm going to write this down because somebody in here or somebody listening online has a Dan and a Marcia and a Judy in their life that they need to have a spiritual conversation with. That is the prompting of the Lord, the quiet whisper, the still quiet whisper. And what I like about this quiet whisper, the still small voice, I just love this passage of scripture. I quote it all the time, Isaiah 30:21, is that you're walking on the street and you turn left or you turn right, but there's a voice behind your ears saying to you, this is the way. Walk in it. That is a still small voice. Number one way that God talks to us, or one of the ways that God speaks to us in that still small voice, is through the prompting, through inspiration, through that urge to do something. But then yet, there's another way. The other way is that God's still small voice comes to us in our conscience. And in our conscience, and a conscience is really our moral compass. He gives us a sense of what's right and what's wrong for us. Many times it's objective, but many times it's for us. Somebody may say, man, and I'm using something here, it's just wrong for me to eat meat. And somebody is like, bring on the pork. It's wrong for this guy to say, I'm going to eat pork. Because God put something in their head that says, hey, it's for you. And this one over here, go ahead and do it. But more often than not, and that was just kind of a little silly example to say, that God puts a moral compass, which is what I want to talk about for a second. The moral compass inside of us tells us, hey, do this and do that. It tells you that when you're about, everybody's passing around the questions and answers for a test, and you can cheat on that test. As you go to open that up, it says, you know you didn't study, and you know you shouldn't cheat. That is a still small voice of God. It's a still small voice that when you like look and says, Uncle Sam is taking out so much taxes, let me put that extra deduction in. That is the still small voice coming in the form of your conscience. It comes when you have that student loan application. All right, I ain't going to go any further there. It comes when you know you're wrong in an argument, but you won the argument, but you know you're wrong. And it says, you were wrong. You need to go and apologize. That is a still small voice of God talking to you that way. It's when you decide that you want to go to the gentleman's ballet. You know what that is? The strip club. And you start to go in, and that voice says to you, now you know you're not supposed to do that. That's wrong. Or when you're quietly at home at night and the TV or your cell phone, where that voice says to you, nah, you know. And many times we try to shut down our conscience. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, the Paul who wrote most of the New Testament, he says this. He was telling Timothy this. And Timothy was a young pastor, maybe about 22, 23. By the way, don't despise young pastors. Timothy was like 22 or 23. He was tearing up the storm in terms of spreading the word and preaching the gospel and lead in the local church. But he said to Timothy, he's like, hey, Timothy, look, I want you to do this. Hold on to your faith and your good conscience. 1 Timothy 1:19. Because if you reject this, by rejecting this, you would have shipwrecked your faith. Anytime you find yourself overriding your conscience, you're in essence shipwrecking your faith. But it comes in a third way. It comes in a way that the still small voice comes in the form of his supernatural wisdom that he's given to you. It comes in when there is no path. You come to a fork in the road, and there are two paths. You can buy the Honda Accord, or you can buy the Toyota Camry. And both of them seem like really good ways. But wisdom says one has 0% financing and the other one has 3% financing. And you know you don't got it like that financially. It comes in the form It comes in the form of whether or not you should go to UCF or FIU or BC. It comes in the form of what major you should take at school. It comes in the form of, should I have one more drink? Not because I feel drunk, not because I'm walking around wobbly, but because wisdom says that if for some reason somebody else hits me or something else happens, I get stopped, and my blood alcohol is 0.08, I'm going to jail. Wisdom says that I don't want to be in control of anything else. And I could go on and on and on and on and on. Wisdom tells you what angle to take on a presentation. Wisdom, you know, you're presenting something at work. Wisdom tells you how to study for a test. It says, I think I remember her talking about that. She talked about 50 chapters, but she spent her time on two. It's starting to realize that wisdom says that they're baiting me. I'm not going to respond to that. Wisdom to say that when you're typing that email at work and you get ready to hit send, you look at it and you say, that's not helpful. That's not wise. That is not helpful. I will not get wisdom. Man, you like this. Wisdom to know when to send your wife some flowers unexpectedly to work so that when you come home, your joy will be full. Peace. That's that still small voice of God, the quiet whisper. I like this verse. That says that the wisdom that comes from God, when you know it's from God, it's first of all, it's pure. And it is peace-loving. That when you're like, am I sending this email? Is this peace-loving? Is it considerate? Is it willing to yield? Like, I'm right, but I don't want to win this battle and lose the war, so I'll just say. It's full of mercy and good fruit, and it's part impartial and sincere. You know, and when you listen to it, when you listen to it, your life will be more satisfying. When you listen to God's still small voice, his prompting, he's how he's working in your conscience and how he gives you supernatural wisdom, overall your life will be better, but you'll also be better at life. And I just like that play on words. You know, and the devil doesn't like it when we listen. And it makes him mad. It makes him angry. And it makes him so mad. He's like, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. And you see, the devil knows that through listening, it builds our faith and it gives us power. And he doesn't like when we have power. He doesn't like when our jaw is full. And he doesn't like anything about us. And he's motivated by hate. He's motivated by the fact that we who know Jesus have a right standing with God when he doesn't. And he can never get it back. And so that same passage in John 10 where it talks about, Jesus says, I've come that my sheep can have life and life to the full. Right before it says that, it says this here. It says, the thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy, brackets, my sheep. His job, his sole purpose in life is to kill, steal, and destroy us. And Jesus compared the devil to a thief. And he says, if you don't know Jesus, he's already winning the battle. He's already stolen you or stealing you because you're still alive. So he's in the process of stealing you. And so if you cannot definitively say that I know Jesus as my personal Lord, my personal Savior, the personal controller in my life, then the devil is stealing. He's stealing, and he has nothing good for you. His only desire in life is to see you make stupid mistakes. And some takes a little while to mature, and some takes they happen right away. But but that's what he tries to do. And let me just tell you right now, for those of you guys listening, usually I finish at 12:30, but today we're going to go to 12:45. So please bear with me. Or as you would hear me again next week talking about this. And as you guys. So Jesus gives the analogy. He's like, the devil is trying to do that to you. And you know how the devil does it? The Bible tells us that the devil is a deceiver. He's a deceptor. If he was a transformer, it'd be a Decepticon or whatever they call those. And he steals, kills, and destroys your joy through deception. Deception. And he does this in two ways. He deceives us. He tries to deceive us in two ways. Number one way is this. Satan's deceptive. By the way, the devil has a still small voice also, in case you guys didn't know. Just like Jesus. Just like God's. But God, whereas God's voice is inspiration, when the devil like prompts in your head and tells you something, we call that temptation. Prompting from the devil is actually called temptation. And he makes, in temptation, he makes something that is blatantly wrong seems right. And you know it's wrong, but you like, it's one little lie. How can it hurt? It makes you want to touch a little bit more than you should touch. You know what I'm saying? It makes you, it makes you go places that you know you shouldn't want to go. And he whispers to you, it's like, it's only one time. It's only one time. You know? Just one more. Just one more. And Ingrid wrote a song about this a few years ago. I don't know, it's probably about 10 years now. It's about temptation. Yielding to temptation is called sin. And sin will take you further than you want to go. It always does. Takes you further than you want to go. It always makes you give up more than you're willing to give. And the way it works is this. Say you're a virgin. And you're like, one time. And then you do it once. And then, I talk about, it'll make you give up more than you will to it. He's the devil like, what are you protecting? It's already gone. Go ahead. Two more times. Three more times. And before you know it, he's like, God doesn't want to deal with you with that anymore. Forget about that. You can serve God this way. And that's what he does to you. He's a deceiver undercover. And the second thing that the devil uses in his small voice to speak to you, which is so sly. Even when I was going to Sunday school, there was a song that says, the devil, Satan is a sly old fox. A sly old fox, you know, foxes are really cunning. If I could catch him, I'd put him in a box. I'd lock that box and throw away the key for all those tricks he played on me. And one of the big tricks that he uses, and he's so good at it, is this trick. Impersonation. He tries to imitate God's voice, and he whispers in your ear something that seems good. See, temptation is something that seems really bad. You just kind of know it's like, all right, it's wrong, but it feels good. Let me just do it. The impersonation is that he comes. And that's what happened to Peter. Peter, when in the beginning, where Peter was saying, hey, man, that's not going to happen to you, God. I bet you Peter thought he was talking some good stuff. And that's the devil impersonating. And oftentimes, there are like two seemingly good choices. But one of them isn't really a good choice. One of them is so much of a better choice. One will rob you of more joy. Here's how it plays out. There are two dudes that like you. One dude is short and kind of stout. The other one is taller and has good hair. Or you guys think I'm talking about somebody, but I'm just, this is all hypothetical. And you like, my kids would be tall with hair that they can do this. And the other one is, they look like him. And so he's like, just go for the other guy. Because think about how cute your kids look. Think about how you guys look walking together. And God's like, that's the devil's small voice saying, no. But wisdom says, but which one knows the Lord? Which one is chasing after God? Which one is not just playing some plastic Jesus game? Because anybody can say that they're following God. But you got to go look behind the scenes. And the devil's like, but think about them pretty kids, them pretty tall kids that can do that. But you kind of get the picture. So how do you know? When you hear in the still small voice of God, or you hear in the still small voice of the deceiver, of the devil. And in 1 John 4:1, Calvin touched a little bit last week, and I'm going to kind of close out our time here with these four things, right? So here's 1 John 4:1 says this. John's talking. He's like, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, the voices talking to your head, but how you know is that you got to test these spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. You know what a false prophet is, folks? Those people who are supposed to know better, who are telling you bad advice. The people who will tell you, one more drink. Just go ahead and drink up when they know you've drank too much. The people says, go ahead and cheat. And these people are like knowing Jesus and they're telling you that. They're not getting that message from God. They're getting the message from somebody else. And a prophet is somebody who's proclaiming on behalf of somebody else, because they're not proclaiming from God. So you got to test the spirit. And so here's how the litmus test, four things to test the spirits. Go really fast. Number one, does the voice, the prompting that you're hearing in your head, like, hey, this is a good idea. Does the voice and the written word, the Bible, align? And there are two alignments. One is it explicitly stated in the Bible? Calvin talked about that last week. So some things, because I've known a person, I really do, more than one as a matter of fact, who's like married and says, I'm feeling the Lord is leading me to leave my wife for this other woman because we are more compatible. I lie to you not. It's a conversation I've had more than once. I'm like, you're not really serious, are you? Yes, I feel it. And then you go back to some Old Testament about Rachel and Leah. I'm like, man, stop your nonsense. God ain't telling you to leave your wife for some other woman. That ain't God. That's a false prophet. He's false. But the harder one is when you don't see something very specific in the Bible. You could read verse 1 or verse 2 and stuff like that, and you're like, you're just like, and so what I'll say is that, you know, one is, does it align? Or the other one, does it misalign? And then the second thing is that sometimes, you know, you can't really get it, so you got to go to number 2. Number 2 says this. How do you recognize number voice? Key number 2 is, does godly counsel agree? And I sound like a broken record on this, but I can't stress it enough. Too many people are lone rangers running out trying to do life on their own. And even Lone Ranger had a tonto, Kimasabe. Some of you guys know it from the song Apache. But does godly counsel agree? That's why you need a group of friends. And I tell you this over and over again, because you want to make sure your friends aren't being false prophets to you. When they give you advice, ask them, did you pray about it before you told me that advice? And what I found is that when it's good and everybody has prayed about it, they will line up. They will tweak the edges, but they'll all line up and they'll agree and they'll give you godly counsel. Number 3 is this. Do I have peace? You know, I'll share something personal, because I never share anything personal over here. But I don't know other ways but to be transparent. So when we first got married, my wife, I love her to death. She's back here. She's shaking her head. She's like, oh, no, what is he going to say? So after we had, she was working for 5 years, and then we had kids. We had Jonathan, and she's like, can I stay home and be a stay-at-home mom? I'm like, well, let's get a housekeeper, because she was telling me that I can clean the house, I cook for you every day. I'm like, start doing the math. I could get Uber Eats, and I could, there wasn't Uber Eats, but you know, you get the picture. I'm like, all right, we'll get somebody to come and help you clean, and just keep working. And then another one came along, she says, can I stop? I'm like, not yet. And it went on to, can I stop? I'm like, well, they're in private school. Do you want private school, or do you want them to go to that, a public school? Ooh, yeah. And she's like, no, I'll keep working. And then it moved on to when they got out of private school. She says, well, can I? And I'm like, well, let's pay off some bills first. So we paid off the bills, and then she says, can I stop? And I'm like, when they get out of college, promise. But 3 weeks ago, or it's like 5 weeks ago, something God spoke to me and says, now is the time. And all the concerns I had about money and about, you know, taking out such a huge portion of our family income out just went. And I knew right then and there that this was the time, even though both boys are still in college, because I had peace. I was very much aware of the same facts that existed before, but now I have peace. The final way is, does it make me more like Jesus? Does it make me more like Jesus? And the cliche, what would Jesus do, is like so cliche. But if you ever stop to think that when you're faced with something, when you're faced with sending an email, when you're faced with, you know, should I go this way or should I go that way? If you apply the test, like, if Jesus were walking around here today and he was faced with exactly that, what do I think he would do? And the best way to know what Jesus would do, and I'm going to encourage you to do this as I wrap, is this. I want everybody here to make a commitment that they're going to read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they're going to read through it. They're going to take a whole year to read through it. When you finish, you're going to read through it, and you're going to read through it, and you're going to read through it again and again. But I don't want you to read whole long passages. You can do your other devotions, but I want you to read a small section. If you have the NIV or the New Living Translation, they've sectioned out these. Take one part and read it like 4 times. You start to get a sense of what Jesus did. You start to get a sense of what Jesus would do. And when you get a sense of what Jesus would do, when you start to filter your stuff through, what would Jesus do? You'll find out that your decisions will start to make you more like Jesus. The fact of the matter is, you need to recognize God's voice and not the imposters. As practical as I can get it, write these down, listen to this over and over again, and follow it, and I'm guaranteeing that your life will be better, because hearing, recognizing, and following Jesus will not only make your life better, but will make you better at life. Let's pray. I invite the worship team out. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you that you are a speaking God from the beginning of time, from the moment you spoke the world into existence to when you close the book on Revelation, you're still speaking to the churches. And from even before the written word, in the beginning was your vocal word, speaking to the spirits of men and to the creation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Lord, we thank you that you became flesh, so you could speak to us audibly, but even better, you left your Spirit to speak to our spirit, so we can know that whether we turn to the left or turn to the right, that this is the way that we should walk in it. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here who cannot say that Jesus is my Lord, Jesus is my Master, Jesus is the director of my life, that today they'll come forward and I'll be up front and going to ask Patrice to come up front, that she can come and speak with us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for who you are and who we are in you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Let's just rise. And you're free to go, free to stay with us. I'll be up front to chat with anybody who would like to chat about how you can know more about what we talked about today or anything else. God bless you.